morning, God, with the heart of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, Father. Heal those who are sick. And Father, I pray this morning for Joe and Lisa Jolly. I don't know if y'all know, but Joe passed away. So we're going to ask God to minister to that family and give them peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you, Father, for Joe's life. Lord, he had an impact here on earth, and his family still has an impact, Father. So we thank you for the family, God, and what they mean. We love them, God. Bless them and encourage them, Lord. Life must go on. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless this message this morning, God. You teach it, not me. And I thank you, Father, that you're the teacher. Thank you, Lord. I think the last thing we talked about last week was giving the devil access to our lives. Was that right? Lynn, was it right? Last thing we talked about last week was we give access to the enemy, right? Okay. I said the devil is roaming through and fro, and he's looking, he's observing for people that he can gain influence with. Okay. Okay. When we are unaware of Satan's schemes, he will take advantage of us. And to the degree that we're ignorant of his schemes and his ways, he'll come into our lives. He'll come into our husbands. He'll come into our children. He'll come into our businesses. He'll come into our schools. If we don't take charge, we have to realize that there's a lot more that we're responsible for than just us. God put us on this earth to have a dominion power in every area. And yes, we are, John. We're warriors. So to the degree that we're ignorant of his way, our adversary thinks and operates his plots, his schemes, and devices. And to that degree, he will prey on us. Think about that. I know a lot of times we don't even think about we have an enemy, but we do. We have an adversary, and he's constantly on the prowl, constantly looking for somebody that he can take advantage of. You know what? He does his job a whole lot better than we do. Think about that. Yeah, we do. But he gives you just enough truth to make it seem like the word, but it's not in essence because he's a liar. You know what I'm saying? So he can give us a little bit to make us think we know the truth, but we got to know the truth. And God is the truth, the way, and the life, okay? General Douglas MacArthur, you know, he was a famous general in the Army. He said that... What? MacArthur. What did I say? I'm sorry. You're right. General Douglas MacArthur said that one of the most important rules of war is to know your enemy. And one of the most important things in living the Christian life is to know God. To know his character. To know him is to love him. Many of us are hindered in our walk with God because we don't know him like we should. We don't realize the nature and depth of the love and power available to us in Christ. Think about it. He said that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? How much of that power do we use? I know I'm way short of that power. I would like to be able to lay hands on the sick and them recover. And I know I've prayed some prayers, and I've seen a lot of my family come into the salvation. And I've seen a lot of them, you know, delivered from drugs and all of this stuff. But still, there's more to do. And we have to get to that place where we know what we're doing. We haven't yet fully comprehended the marvelous truths of Scripture. Truth is, we are deeply loved, totally forgiven. How many of you sometimes go with maybe a week sometimes and wondering if you're right with God or not? Or did God forgive you for that last thing you done? Did you recognize the last thing you've done that come against his holiness, that come against his righteousness, that come against his character? That's it. That's the first thing you do. Yeah. So we're deeply loved, totally forgiven, past, present, and future. That's a hard one for me. Is it hard for y'all to think that God's forgive us for our past? Because the devil won't let you, he's going to bother you every day about that. You done this and you done that back here. Praise God, I don't do it anymore. But the devil knows that we done it. And he's going to continually, because he said, go ahead, Lynn. Yep. Right. Right. Good stuff. Yes, that's good, Lynn. But still, you have to get it up here. You know what I'm saying? You've got to think that you're forgiven. You've got to think that God loves you in the middle of all that mess. So, fully pleasing, totally acceptable, forgiven past, present, and future, and we're fully pleasing to God. Fully pleasing. That means we can't do anything that displeases Him. We'll do some things that displease us, but we don't displease the Father. And complete in Christ, like I said, with the power of His resurrection. The Christian life is not an easy one. How many of you would agree with that? It's not an easy life. Now, you can come to it. It gets easier, believe me. As the years go on, it does get a lot easier. Does it not? Okay. It That's a fact. We have to realize our life is not a playground. It's a battleground. And we must be on guard at all times. We cannot live our Christian life cruising around. What's that say? Be alert. Be alert. We can't just cruise around. And that's what, when we talked last week, it said, some people live normal lives. Everything's going well for them, and they're not seeking God, but they think they are. Because everything's going well, it's okie dokie. But that's not always the case. Just because things are going well with you at the time don't mean you stop seeking God. Don't mean you stop praying. Don't mean you stop studying the Word. Don't mean you stop being the servant of God. That's when we have to do it more. Take heed lest ye fall. That's what He said. Take heed lest ye fall. The devil likes promoting just enough truth about God to appear biblical while denying His power. I think it's in Chronicles where David said, you know, when he was going by the tomb to be buried in, and he told the guy wanted to give it to him. And David said, no, he didn't want to give to him. He wanted to pay for it. Why did he say that? Because a religion that costs nothing is worth nothing. And that was the essence of what David was saying. He wanted it to cost him for his service to God. We have to pay a price. He said, we suffer the same sufferings as Christ. People turn from their idols when they stop getting rain. You'll stop serving your idols when they stop pleasing you, when they stop doing what you want them to do. Think of some of the idols that maybe you've had to pull down in your life. The high places. You know, God talks about tear them high places down. Bring them under subjection to the power of God and the authority of God. And there's a lot of our places in our life we don't have take that authority. We never give up, just like you said, John. It's a surrender. It's a battle term. We don't give up. Okay. Where's it at? First Pete. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to do this wrong if I don't. I know who I am. I'm going to have to put it in there because I'll keep pulling it away from you. Don't. 1 Peter 5:8 says that the enemy walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The verb oroma, I can't even pronounce it, but it spells O-R-U-M-A-I, and it means to roar or howl, specifically describing the deep, guttural sound of wild animals like lions. In the New Testament, it is used only once, and that's, like I said, in 1 Peter 5:8. To describe the devil's predatory nature, it emphasizes that spiritual opposition, now listen to this, is not passive, but actively dangerous. Recognizing this helps believers understand why staying alert and sober-minded is essential for their faith journey. This vivid image captures not just noise. The devil makes a lot of noise, does he not? Ed. Right. Exactly right. Praise God. Yes. Where you is? For real. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Well, that's what Peter done. Peter gave in to fear. In several occasions, he gave in to fear. Man's the fear of man. Okay. It captures just not the noise, but the intensity and imminent danger we are in. By using this specific word, roaring, Peter emphasizes the raw, terrifying nature of the enemy, contrasting with it the calm confidence we are called to maintain through faith. We should be confident in God, not ourselves, but God. Because how many times have you asked God for something and prayed for something that you're going through, or you've asked Him for direction, and something happens that says it's not going to happen? God's not going to do it for me. And we have a pity party. So we're giving in to the enemy when we do that. When we have a pity party and we don't believe God, we're giving in to the enemy. And he knows you like a book. Believe me. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows when to run. And he knows when to back off. And that's what we got to learn. We got to know when to run. Get out of town, man. The devil's here. And just keep going forward. But we got to recognize him. And we recognize he's in that place. Get out of that place. Get out of that place of pity. Get out of that place of denial. Get out of that place of not operating in love. Get out of that place of judging somebody. Get out of those places. You know when you do it. You're not blind and you're not stupid by any means. We know what we're doing. And we do it. We go ahead and make these mistakes. Why? We're human. And I've heard that many times. We're human. We are human. But the Spirit of God is more than our humanness. Is it not? We have to learn to depend on the Spirit of God within us to direct our path and lean not on our own understanding. That's a biggie right there. If we'll quit leaning on our understanding, we got half the battle. Right. He's like. That's right. That's right. That's right, he does. Okay. In the Old Testament, listen to this. And I had never read these verses before. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 42:13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, he shall roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. He's coming back as a roaring lion, people. I told you last week, get your roar on. Get your war on. That's your battle cry, is your war roar, okay? In Hosea 11:10, they will follow the Lord, and he will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. See, when he roars, we hear it. We know God's on our side. Revelation 10:3, then he cried out in a loud voice like the roar of a lion. Man, can you just hear him right now? Roaring for us. Isaiah 31:4, like a roaring lion, it is not terrified, so the Lord of hosts will come down to do battle. When we're roaring, God's coming down to do battle for us because he fights our battles, not us. That's what we got to realize. He fights our battles. Joel 3:16, the Lord will roar from Zion, and he raises his voice. He raises his voice when he roars. He goes, hey, and sometimes when I'm praying, I get my roar on. Any of y'all roar when you're praying? It's not I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Okay. Jeremiah 25:30. The Lord shall from on high, he shall mightily roar upon his habitation. We're his temple. We're his habitation on earth right now. So he's roaring for us. Thank you, Jesus. The Christian life is not lived in panic. Ed, that's what you said. But is lived being alert. Because lions don't warn the distracted. They get them. He studies weakness. They devour them. When you're distracted, he'll devour you. There is no autopilot or casual awareness. You hear me? No casualness in the Christian life. Don't do things casually. Do things on purpose. And with all your heart. Don't do things half-hearted living a Christian life. Do it with your whole heart. If you're going to do anything for God, do it with your whole heart. Don't half-hearted do it. Don't do it for attention. Don't do it for show of man. Don't do it to please somebody else. He looks for distraction, and he waits for you to get exhausted. And when you get exhausted, he'll jump you. He'll come at you. So this is what the Lord says. Do not go on offering members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but offer yourselves to God in a decisive act as those alive raised from the dead to a new life, and your members, all of your abilities, sanctified, set apart as instruments of righteousness yielded to God. You know, God's a sanctifier, but when it comes to the consecration, we give up things. We choose to flip that channel on that TV. We choose not to eat so many sweets. That's our choice. And that way we consecrate every part of us to the Lord God Almighty. When we can say no to the flesh. And that's our biggest fight, is it not, the flesh? We war against not principalities and powers. But we war against our own selves, man. We do. Okay. Mark 8:34. Jesus called the crowd together with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he didn't say follow me as a Christian, follow me as a disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. That is the definition of a true soldier of the cross. We pick up our cross, we deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily and follow him. We need to practice denying ourselves. And you know what? The more you do it, it'll get easier if you'll just deny it. You know? It might not come up so loud in here, you know? I gotta have that piece of chocolate. I gotta have that. I gotta have it. But you don't. Praise God. So God strengthens us through our weakness. He's strong when we're weak. It's not about perfection, people. If it was, count me out, because I am not perfect. It's about letting God help us get back up when we fail. Faith grows through honesty, being honest with God. Don't dress yourself up, clean up your mess, and then go to God. Go to God in your mess, man. Go to him in your mess, knowing that you're in a mess, and confess it to him. You know? Expressing our needs, fears, and doubts to God is what builds true resilience. Prayer transforms emotions. Anybody agree with that? Huh? It does, don't it? It'll keep you calm, won't it? Okay. God listens when we pour out our hearts and gives us strength even before things change. He does, doesn't he? He does. I've been down many a hard road, man. Just as Jesus commissioned the 12 disciples in Matthew 28:19-20, to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey Jesus' commands. Being a disciple is not just being a fan of Jesus. We all probably call ourselves Christians, right? Call yourself a Christian? Do you ever tell anybody you're a disciple of Christ? Think about it. Christians are those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior and seek to live a life that honors him. We all do that. A disciple, on the other hand, is someone who not only believes in Jesus, but also is actively following him, learning from his teachings and living them out. While all disciples are Christians, all Christians are not disciples. Think about it. Go ahead, Ed. Praise God. And when I hear that, here in America, more and more, like, you just throw that word around. Yes. And there's actually kind of a, not a whole lot that are real disciples of Jesus. How many people just kind of call themselves that culture in America?
Well, you don't put his...
Well, if they knew the disciple, the message of a disciple or what a disciple is, and then as opposed to a Christian takes a lot of it off of us. As a Christian, we don't live like disciples. So what does that tell us? We can live any way we want to and call ourselves a Christian.
But if we call ourselves a disciple, we better be plugged in, hitting on 220 instead of a 110. You hear me? 220 instead of plug into a 220. Get on fire. It's for what, honey? Yes, yes. Yes. Yes, you do. But see, that's what Americans don't want to give up is discipline. They don't. They don't want to discipline themselves. For a long time, I didn't want to discipline myself till I found out, hey, this is real. It works. Think about that. If you'll try it, it works. If you follow God with all your heart, you're going to see him bigger than you've ever seen him. Believe me. He'll show up for you, and you'll begin to magnify. You know, I love it when Mary was talking to Elizabeth about the baby, and she said, my soul doth magnify you, O God. Think about that. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions, that we can magnify the Father God with all of our soul, all of our being. It's kind of like I've heard people say, well, Pastor Terry, when he teaches on praise and worship or whatever, you know, raise your hands, you do the ta-da, you do the la-da, whatever. I've seen they do this. After they serve Jesus a while, they do this. And then when they really fall in love with you, woo! It's true. It is so true. That just shows you how much you know God. When you know him, you're going to worship him. You're going to praise him. Are you not, Cindy? Amen. You're going to live it. Glorify him. So let's ask ourselves, does God offer two acceptable standards for living the Christian life? A less demanding one for ordinary Christians and an optional, more challenging version for those who commit themselves to be disciples. In Greek, the term Christian means adherents or followers of Christ Jesus. The word Christian was used three times in the New Testament. And every other time, God referred to the people as disciples or followers. He didn't describe them as Christians. They were disciples and followers. Jesus's only mandatory commitment to us was, be a disciple. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's what he told us to do. That's our part here on earth. Christ is ruler over all authority and power. He has all the authority and all the power. 1 Peter 4, 57 through 59. And this happens a lot of times. People get insulted for the name of Jesus. So it says, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory in God rests on you. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. I remember when I was going to First Baptist Church in Monroe when we lived down there, and I was doing the teaching for the singles class. And somebody asked me about the demonic realm. I mean, they wanted to know, did I believe in devils? I said, yeah, I do. And I said, but we have power and authority over them. And that night as I was leaving the church, this man followed me out to my car. And he just gave me down the road. Don't you come in here teaching that garbage. I said, excuse me. Now, if somebody comes at you like that, you got to let it go, man. You got to let it go. But I've had that happen more than one time when I'm, you know, saying something or being a witness or something like that, because the devil don't like it. Worshiping Jesus, we reflect back the radiance of his worth. It is the greatest act for any creation or creature, reflecting back the brilliant, shining light that emanates from God's presence, glory, and holiness. Wouldn't you just love to walk around in a glory cloud? To have a cloud of glory following you everywhere you go? To see the manifest presence of God fall on somebody? And I do believe when the manifest presence falls on us, we can't do nothing but bow. We can't do nothing but bow to God. Greater is he, though, that's in us than him that's in the world. And we have to remember that. Greater is he. Greater is he. When the devil comes at us, remember, greater is he who is in you than him that's in the world. Learn to fight the devil. Learn to fight him. Learn to fight your spiritual battles the right way. And there's a pattern to all of this. There's teachings on all these things. But you've got to be willing to go in and find these teachings that will help you go forward in the power of God and not in weakness. And I've been serving the Lord now faithfully. I was before, but faithfully for about 35 or 40 years. Before that, I was what you call a Christian. But let me tell you what, when I realized who God was and how much he loved me, when you realize that, you're going to go for it. Won't you, Pat? You'll go for it. You'll go for the gusto. And these movements that come in, people don't like the movement of God because it shows them up for who they are, who they really are. But if it's God, let him touch you. But I used to pray, and I'd pray, I'd say, Lord, if this is you, I want all of you. We got to pray with that carefulness. Lord, if this is you, I want it. But if it's not you, don't let me receive it. Because if we receive it, we're going to act upon it. So only receive from God, not the man. But then he says, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So we know we can't be deceived. There's a big if in there. But that big if depends on us, I think, if we ask God to show us what's right and what's wrong. Show us the truth, God. We just want the truth, do we not? We want truth. And I know that teachers are responsible for the truth they teach. And I say, Lord, help me not to teach something that's not true. I want to start a fire in the people of God. I want to start a fire in you people, fire you up to pray more, to study more, to witness more, to love more, to discipline ourselves. That's what I want to do. I want to fire you up. Through the years, I've probably been called down for the way I was at Fangel Cathedral one time. This was many years ago. And I'm going to finish this, okay? But I was going through so much at that time. And praise and worship. They started praising and worshiping. And I went up front. And I just began to dance before the Lord. I mean, wild dancing. I don't mean this. I mean, I was going bonkers. I went bananas. And so I heard somebody behind me say, who is that? I thought, whoa. But you know what? When God moves on you, when he moves on you and you feel the power of God and you know it's him, hey, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Don't stand back and say, it's better to do it and wonder why you didn't do it. So do it and find out the truth of it rather than wonder, well, is that God or not? Try it. Try God. Test me, trust me, try me, prove me. And see if a blessing I'll not pour out on you. And I think that can go with any way of our life. Trust him. Test him. Try and prove him. There's many a time that I've said, God, I'm going to test you on this because I want to know the truth. And he'll show you. He will. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God that lives in me. I thank you, Father, for I love you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that these people will love you with a manifest presence of God like never before, God, that they'll begin to operate in a degree of holiness, in a degree of glory, God, that they haven't seen before, God. As the glory falls on them, God, that they'll submit to the power of God in their lives, Father. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, and we bless each person, God. Bless them with the truth of who you are in Jesus. Oh, bless the speaker today, God. Bless the music today, God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.